Hey, you guys. Yep. Happy whatever day today is.
It's just day day.
It's Tuesday.
Doesn't mean anything, yeah.
I think it's Tuesday.
We saw a real good movie last night. This was a fucking classic. I've only seen this one like two or three times, and I haven't seen it in a long, long time. It's called 3 Days of the Condor. Now, I remembered it as 5 Days of the Condor, and it's based on a book called 5 Days.
No,
of the,
6 Days.
6 Days of the Condor. Yeah. That's right. I remembered it as 6 Days of the Condor, and that's the name of the book. But this one's called 3 Days of the Condor. It's the same story.
They shortened the timeline.
They just shortened the timeline.
Well, I think actually they changed quite a lot from the book. At least I haven't read the book, but I just read a quick synopsis of it, and they did kind of change.
They changed some stuff.
A lot. They changed the location. They changed like a bunch of other stuff.
It's badass Robert Redford flick from the 70s. Dino De Laurentiis film. All right. Got a lot of good things about it. And it's basically a James Bond type movie, spy movie, but realistic. Kind of like Casino Royale in a certain way, but even more realistic than that. There's no real, like, unbelievable action scenes with fucking cars or fucking flying off bridges and, you know, dangling by... None of that shit. It's just kind of a realistic spy movie. And it's about this dude who works for just something called The Company. It's something having to do with the CIA, because they show the Central Intelligence Agency. And he's an agent, but he's not a field agent. Played by Robert Redford. He works in New York and works at this office, and it just looks like a normal office. Nobody knows what this is, but it's a secret CIA installation.
Well, the front is, it's the American Historical Literary Society.
That's what they call
it. That's what the front is.
But what his job is just to read books and spy books and shit like that and come up with fucking badass ideas and enter them into a computer so the CIA can use those ideas. Out of the blue, one day, he goes out to lunch, and while he's out to lunch, some dudes come in there with fucking suppressed Mac Teds and fucking shoot the place up and kill his whole fuck, all his friends, his girlfriend, his Chinese girlfriend, and everything. Comes back, and they're all shot up. And he's, and then he realizes that he tries to call back to the company, tells them what happened, and they're telling him to report back in, but he gets real suspicious about it, and he goes on the run. And they go after him. And he uses all his fucking knowledge to try to survive and figure out what the fuck is happening, who's after him, and why. And he's trying to survive. And he's not a field agent. He's just a bookworm. He's a brain bug. That's what he is. He's a brain bug. That would be on Starship Troopers. And it's a good flick. Real good. Kind of reminds me a little bit of The Marathon Man. In a way, there's another good flick. We're going to do that one too. But if you like James Bond movies, you need to see this one. This one's good.
Yeah, for whatever reason, when we were talking about The Believers yesterday, well, we brought up Marathon Man because that was done by the same director. And so we're like, oh yeah, we should see. And then you brought up 3 Days of the Condor. So then like last night when we were thinking about a movie, I said, well, do you want to do Marathon Man or 3 Days of the Condor or whatever? And so we started watching that. It was on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, for $3.
I had forgotten that I saw this movie a long time ago, probably when I was on cable when I was a teenager. And I remembered liking it, but I didn't remember a lot about it. I had forgotten that Sidney Pollack directed this. He was the same director. He's an actor as well. He's the same director that did Jeremiah Johnson. There you go. One of your favorite movies.
Yeah, another one of my favorite ones, yeah.
He did Tootsie, Absence of Malice, Out of Africa. And he's been in a shit ton of movies, like, as an actor. You probably recognize... He was actually in Eyes Wide Shut.
Okay,
he played the doctor.
The bad guy.
Yeah, well, you know, the doctor that they find the hooker... Sidney Pollack.
Right.
But yeah, he directed a bunch of movies too. But yeah, he's an actor as well.
Man. It's a masterpiece.
Yeah, they kind of did. And Louis just pointed out too. It's like the 70s was the golden age of political thrillers. This one, The Parallax View, that was another good one. All the President's Men. Yeah, it's a really good one.
Yeah, fucking. What was that other one? Fucking Capricorn One. I want to go back and see that one. I haven't seen that one since I was a kid when they were faking the moon landing. Yeah.
That's where everybody got the idea about Stanley Kubrick
Capricorn
and fucking
one,
shit like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I forgot, like, Faye Dunaway is in this.
Max von Sydow
is in it.
Yep.
I love Max von Sydow.
And it's a Dino De Laurentiis flick, and it's like one of the classy flicks. It's like, it's kind of classy. It's still fast paced. It's like an action Well, no, it's more like an adventure thriller survival movie with spy stuff. And it's all kind of not hokey spy shit, you know what I mean? Like, you know, underwater submarines, and you come out and you're
like
tux.
Go-Go Gadget arm.
Yeah, yeah, none of that shit. It's like what it would really be like. It is based very much in real in operations, although kind of outdated by today's standards, and might have been outdated by the standards here in some of it. This is like kind of like OSS level type stuff, you know, like. It's what was known about from the 50s tricks. But they were probably doing a lot of this. They were using... It wasn't really CIA agents that were doing a lot of the bad shit. It was contractors. They were called freelancers. They had those guys that were just assassins. But they all had backgrounds. They pull up their backgrounds or they showed you. Because they had computer systems, 70s computers. They'd show the dude... I don't want to spoil it, you know. They'd show dudes that were involved in some fucking... shit that went down, and you go, oh, okay, he was a gunnery sergeant, served in Honduras and Korea and all these other kind of like hot spots of, that were around during the 60s and 70s. So, dude might have looked like a damn mailman, but that's not what he was. You know what I mean? There was all kinds of cool shit in it, you know, trickery and shit. Robert Redford's trying to survive, and he has all these tricks he's picked up from reading spy books, and he's using them.
Well, yeah, because that's like his job. He's not trained as a field agent.
He can't even really shoot.
So, I mean, he was in the service. So he does have some like experience. He's not completely green.
Yeah, but with rifles.
Right, but they never like really trained him.
Right.
But in some ways, and I kind of like that Max von Sydow kind of brings this up. John Houseman is in this too, actually, not in it a lot, but in a couple of scenes. But they kind of bring this up that maybe his inexperience with field work makes him harder to find because he's more unpredictable.
Yeah, he doesn't really know what he's doing. He's lost.
He doesn't. Well, and he only knows what he's doing because he's read like a fuck ton of spy novels because that's his job. But his job is to read spy novels and newspapers and magazines and shit like that from around the world to kind of like pick up cool tips or to see if anybody's like onto their shit. Like if there's any kind of like coded whatever, they have to like feed everything into computers. That's kind of what their whole job is.
Yeah.
So the fact that he spends all day, every day reading spy novels makes it like he knows how to do all this shit. So like I said, in some ways that kind of, I really like that kind of like bookworm kind of like uses all his like knowledge that you think is like useless because he just sits around reading books all the time. But he's like, no,
and
man,
really
I know how to like, you know, trace phone calls and like he knows how to do all kind of crazy shit. That
and he didn't take any of this shit seriously. He didn't take security protocols seriously. He used whatever door he wanted to, broke all kinds of rules and shit. He didn't really consider himself to be like a spy or anything. He didn't give a shit.
Well, that's why the whole thing...
It was just his job.
That's why it was kind of like such a shock at the beginning because this small office... That was, you know, even though it's like a covert CIA office and it's, you know, called the American Literary Historical Society or whatever. And there's just like, you know, however many people were working there, like 7 or 8 people. But they weren't field agents. That was just their whole job was they just sat there and read and they analyzed like all these novels and all this stuff. And that so they didn't really think
anybody do anything
that anybody would do anything to them because why would you?
Yeah.
It just kind of happened that he sent some kind of memo that had some kind of info in it that maybe he kind of like clued on that maybe he was clued on to something that he didn't know he was clued on to. And so somebody thought, well, maybe we need to like do something about that situation. But it's so I really like the way that turned out. But like I said, everybody in the office, it wasn't just him. He was the most egregious offender. But everyone in the office was just pretty much like, yeah, whatever. Even though technically you're supposed to like get buzzed in and technically you're not supposed to use the back door. He goes out to get everyone sandwiches.
Yeah.
And he's just like, oh, man, it's raining. I'm going out the back door. And the guy's like, hey, you're not supposed to do that. And she's like, oh, he always does that.
Yeah. And what I'd like to, well, there's a lot I liked about this movie of the fucking score. It's a really good 70s fucking kind of like, oh, did it shit? Did we lose it?
It looks
like
it.
Yeah, we lost a little bit.
We lost it.
It'll be back in a minute.
Okay.
It's coming back.
Okay,
we should be back.
Dropped a few frames.
One of the things I really liked about it was it had a really good 70s score. It was kind of like, it was jazz, but with kind of like a 70s disco fucking vibe to it. And it kind of felt like... the jazz from Blade Runner and there's detective shit going on, so it kind of has a Blade Runner feel to it, but not really a look. I really liked the score. Also, I liked that it had action in it, but it wasn't over-the-top, unrealistic action. When somebody did some shit, it looked like it really happened. And it's kind of a more accurate depiction of, say, like, what it would be like to just eat somebody up with a suppressed MAC-10 at close range. You know, they show that kind of shit. Pretty cool weapons that kind of come out. That sometimes it's kind of vague what it was, but I think I know what most of the stuff was. You can go online and go, you know, like the guns of, and then put the movie there, and there's a database that'll show you exactly what guns were used. And some Max von Sydow uses some shit, and it's dark, so you can't see all of it. And I think it might have been a Mauser 98 broom handle, modified to be a sniper carbine. He's using it in downtown fucking New York. It's pretty neat. It had a scope on it. I think that's what it was, because that pistol kind of had artillery models with longer barrels, and it had a buttstock that came off of it, and you could put the gun, you could put the pistol inside the buttstock, and it'd be small. He had it. He turned it into a sniper rifle. Must have been what it was, but didn't show it too clearly. It was neat. Got to go back and look at it. Yeah, just a cool flick, man. Really cool. Up there with the James Bond movie, with a little bit more of a realism, I think. Yeah, it's not totally realistic, but better realistic.
But I mean, for a movie, yeah, it's pretty grounded in reality. Yeah. It's pretty, like, down to earth.
Yeah.
It doesn't have, you know, like, spies being, like, super, everybody's, like, you know, a kung fu master. And
no.
A master of every single weapon and can, like, jump off bridges and not get hurt. And
yeah, they look regular fucking losers. Sometimes they just look like losers,
and like,
they're middle aged guys, overweight and shit. But they're doing, because they're designed to be camouflaged. You'd never notice them. You know, that's the idea.
Well, yeah, and like I said, kind of the whole premise of the movie is that this guy is just like a schlub, like working in some low level CIA office who just happened to come across some information he probably wasn't supposed to have, and then suddenly gets embroiled in this shit that he's not really trained for, but then, like, he uses, you know, this kind of, like, oddball, like, information that he has to sort of, like, evade his, you know, pursuers.
Yeah, and he was pissed. He was evidently thinking about leaving the job because he got sick of it, because he couldn't tell anybody what he did.
Yeah.
And it was bothering him. And he had a cute girlfriend in there, a little Chinese woman, who was another agent, and they kill her ass. They ate her up. And she took it like a champ, though. It was it's pretty good. That's just the very beginning of the movie. There's a lot about it I don't remember.
Yeah, that's not really a spoiler, because that happens in, like, the first
night. Yeah, it has. But when he comes back from lunch, man, everybody's dead, and he thinks they're still in there. That's kind of where the movie starts. And he spends the rest of the movie trying to figure out who killed all his friends and why. But he realized he couldn't really trust anybody. It's a good movie.
And Faye Dunaway gets into this. I think this part of it is, this is a good part of the movie, but I think it's, like, the least realistic, in the sense that basically what he does, he's hiding out. Like you said, he figures, like, somebody's out to kill me, obviously, as you would. And so he's kind of, like, trying to hide out, and he's in this shop. Like, he ducks into the shop where they're selling, like, ski shit or, like, sporting goods or something like that. And he happens to, like, see Faye Dunaway, like, picking something up, and he overhears her name. So when he goes out to the sidewalk, he basically takes her hostage and jacks her car.
Yeah, he just abducts her.
He just, like, kidnaps her, right? And so over the course of, it's only, like, a day or two.
Yeah.
Basically, and he like, ties her up in the apartment so she doesn't go anywhere. And
yeah. Well, he didn't have a choice.
I know, but it's like, what was unrealistic, I thought, was that she was just like, after a day or two, she's like, okay, I love you now. It's, you know what I mean?
Well, you don't know if
that happened a lot in the 70s, though.
Yeah, and also they were letting you know that she was a weirdo.
She was a weirdo.
By 70s standards. And she was like an artistic type, and she was kind of like proto-goth into real sad pictures and shit. And you also don't know, and he didn't know whether or not she was trying to trick him.
Yeah.
So there was that element too. You don't know how honest.
And she had a boyfriend who
was a dick.
I mean, you only heard one phone conversation with him, but I was kind of like, wow, that guy sounds like a real.
She might have had a bit of a BDSM kind of a fetish. Did you notice that?
I thought that maybe that's where they were going with that.
He was tying her up with stuff, and she was. He just had.
Well,
to
and
see
then
the
there
movie.
Was one thing too, where didn't he say you haven't asked me to untie your hands?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what
so, yeah, so I kind of feel like, I don't know if they could come out and necessarily say that. Like
the times may have not have fucking allowed
maybe,
for some of that shit.
Or maybe they just didn't want it to be overt.
Yeah, it's difficult to say. But then again, this is Robert fucking Redford, all right? He's obviously a good-looking dude.
Well, I don't want to get abducted by Robert Redford or anyone else for that matter.
But he's obviously not unkempt, and he's obviously a part of something. She didn't know what the deal was.
Although, if somebody, I mean, realistically, even if a good-looking dude kidnapped you off the street, and then he didn't hurt you necessarily, but he'd kind of, like, push you around and took your car, and is like, oh, hey, I'm going to stay in your apartment for a few days, and you can't leave my side. Oh, and by the way, I work for the CIA, and all these people are trying to kill me. Yeah. You would think that he was insane.
Yeah.
I would think that he was insane.
But it was also, obviously, he wasn't interested in her. He would have raped her already. Yeah, but he wasn't interested in her.
She makes a comment about that because he even says something like, "Well, I haven't raped you," and she said, "Well, the night's still young." Yeah. And I was like, "Damn, he was got a live one here."
He was worried. Well, all his friends got killed and shit. Yeah. He was too worried about what was going on television, the news reports and stuff. You just got to see the movie.
But like I said, you wouldn't, like, from her point of view, you wouldn't know. This is just this random dude that grabbed you off the street.
And he just wanted to go to sleep.
CIA agent.
Nothing is that he just wanted to go to sleep, too.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, he needed a place to sleep. So I think she thought that he had killed somebody and robbed him, that type of deal. But he wasn't interested in her. Shit happened later, but I thought it was a good movie, man. Fucking classic flick. And it's realistic from the point of view of, say, like, what it would be to be in an intelligence group. He had a military background. His unit got wiped out, so he clicked into action. He was going to go in, but he got scared. Shit didn't seem right.
Because all those spy novels he read, he's like, I should probably not trust anybody. Yeah. And as it turns out, most of the time he was right about that.
So he kind of goes rogue, but he's doing it to save himself. But this whole thing about abducting people and doing the weird shit that he did, that would be fair in the intelligence agency because in a way, you're fighting for the country too. You know what I mean? This is kind of like a patriotic responsibility to find out what had happened because American employees of the intelligence agency got killed. So now That's defending people of your unit and in primary and loyalties to the unit.
I like too that he did like some dumb shit at the beginning. Like they even told him when he called in, like you're supposed to do when something bad happens.
Yeah,
he did what he was supposed to do.
Yeah.
But then he was kinda like, I don't really know. But they told him, well, don't go home, obviously, because somebody is after you guys. So he did actually kinda go by his house.
Yeah. Saw dudes were there.
And kind of saw dudes were there, but he did do some dumb shit, but not really. But the fact that he didn't really know what to do exactly, he just knew he didn't trust anybody and that he had to go somewhere where nobody knew where he was.
Yeah.
That's what ended up
him abducting people and doing things, this all would have been part of his standing orders. In any kind of a unit that would be like this, you would have standing orders. Report to your higher up, protect yourself, do this and that. You'd have certain orders about who is expendable.
Even though, like
who
I said, like,
so he's going through his protocol.
At this particular office, they seemed really lax because when he called in, it's like he remembered his code name, which was Condor, but he didn't remember any of the other people's code. Yeah. He's like, Hummingbird, Nightingale, whatever.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't a reality to him.
Right.
Because they weren't field agents.
That's what I mean.
Like somebody else's job.
It was just like a bullshit type of job.
I think he would have had a very basic training and a bunch of standing orders that you'd got at the very basic levels, but he wasn't using those and it was so rusty it took him a while.
You first start working at a place and you read the employee handbook and you don't remember, like, if shit really goes bad, you're like, oh damn, I read that like fucking years ago, I don't remember.
And that whole company, as he calls it, is a bunch of dudes that are basically criminals. Basically, They're doing all kinds of dirty tricks. They're killing people and doing things and lying, cheating, stealing, and killing to get certain things done for national security. And that's why that shit's secret. Especially back in those days. That was Cold War era. They did shit like that. But a lot of times, not themselves. They hired other people to do it, which they show that in this.
Yeah, I really liked Max von Sydow's character. Yeah. That scene with Robert Redford and Max von Sydow in the elevator, like in that building, I really liked that scene. Yeah. Like it was like super tense.
Yeah, it's called wet work, and you know the intelligence agency stopped doing wet work themselves most of the time because you need an extra barrier of protection, so they hire somebody else. That way, if that person gets caught, there's no connection to the agencies. So they hire assassins or criminals to do it. People from cartels. They used to do it. In World War II, they had the mafia working for them. And in recent times, they hire cults to do it. Yes. Okay.
Louis says, Tom and Jenny, did you watch the TV series Condor, also based on the book? It was pretty good. No, 10 episodes, if I remember correctly.
10 episodes? All right.
Yeah. Well, shit. Is it, how old is it? Is it, like, 70s. Recent? Because the novel came out in 1974.
Yeah.
I'd have to, like I said, I just did a really quick skim of, like, but it seemed like, I mean, the frame story was the same.
Yeah.
But they changed a lot of stuff. They changed, like, the location, and they changed some various other things. But I think this might have got an Academy Award nomination for Best Editing.
It's a tight flick. It's a tight flick. It's got a great story. Fast-paced, fast-moving. It's got a lot of shit to think about.
2015 or 2016.
Okay,
so recent.
We have to check it out. It's got a fast-paced to it, grounded in reality. Also has some philosophy. Brought to you by Max von Sydow is in it. So, and you know, about how to be above all this shit. Which I was like, yeah, that's right. Don't think about this. It's just you. And it's calm. Yeah, it's just you.
That was a good scene.
Yeah.
I was like, Max von Sydow was really good at this.
Yeah.
He's not, like, he's not in a huge amount. I guess he's kind of like he's a supporting character, I guess. But every scene with him is, like, really good.
Yeah, he kind of steals the show.
He kind of does, yeah. Oh, I think we lost it again.
Well, no, I think it's just yellow. We ought to actually, this is probably all I have to say about it, unless you had any more to talk about the production.
Yeah, because this seems kind of like, man, it's, I know it came out a long time ago, like in 1975, but this is kind of one of those ones that if you haven't seen it, it's probably better to like watch it not really knowing about all the twists and turns and stuff, because it's like way better if you don't, because I saw it a long time ago, but I didn't remember like anything that happened in it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Louis saying check out fucking Enemy of the State.
I saw that too, but that was a while back.
Yeah,
that was good too. And The Conversation, I think I've seen that, and that was actually really good too. Yeah. But yeah, there's all kind of good spy thrillers like that. Like, you know, I said, a lot of really good ones came out in the 70s.
We're going to check out The Marathon Man, even though it's not really a spy movie. It's about, you know, there's like an escaped Nazis in it who they're kind of like spies. That's pretty good.
I haven't seen that one in a long time either. Now I'm kind of like I'm in a 70s kind of movie for watching all these kind of 70s.
Yeah, Nazis movies. On the run. What they called it, the rat line. They were trying to get the Nazis out secretly, and then they were getting in trouble all around the world, down in Argentina, the United States, and New York.
Fucking Nazis.
Dustin Hoffman runs into one. Yeah. Nazi with diamonds. It's all kinds of shit that happens.
Nazis with diamonds.
Well, they're not Nazis anymore. They're just escaped war criminals. They're just old dudes who are willing to kill you to get to safety and shit, you know? And to protect one another.
That reminded me of that Stephen King story, Apt Pupil. Did you read that one?
Yeah. No.
It was a novella. They made a movie out of it that actually wasn't bad. But, it was about the same. It was about basically a kid who, he goes over to, like, read to, like, the old guy next door and finds out he's a Nazi war criminal.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's really good. All right. So is that all we have to say about that?
Yeah.
Because, like,
Just recommending the film. This is a good one. Check it out. Especially if you're a fan of, you know, the newer James Bond movies or just any kind of spy-type movies, this is a good one. It's not too overly complicated. It's not real fucking fanciful, you know, fantastical or anything. It's just like some shit that actually did could happen. I like.
Yeah, like I said, I kind of like. I mean, I don't mind the James Bond type stuff, but those are obviously fantasy to a large extent. With all the flashy cars and all that kind of, like, you know, that's this one is much more like what it would really be like if you kind of had a low level CIA job and then suddenly you were thrust into this kind of, like,
more like a mafia movie almost,
kind of.
And then it had an ambiguous end, like, you know, the fucking CIA guys, yes, but will they print it?
Yeah,
will they print it? And fucking they just leave it like that. And the fucking answer is no, they won't print it. They won't print it because they in there too. Yeah, they got dirt on them. They're not gonna print it.
Yeah, but yeah, this is a damn good one.
Yeah,
it's a damn good one. Yeah. We're gonna have to watch the Parallax View and stuff too because I haven't seen that in a long time either.
Okay.
And and All the President's Men. Obviously, that's like a classic. But yeah, so I guess that'll do it for today. Thanks everybody for dropping by. Tomorrow's Wednesday, so tomorrow night we're gonna do our regular episode at 5 p.m. We're gonna do this one by an overwhelming amount of votes. Scary Scotland. Mm-hmm. We're gonna be talking about. I'm doing three different cases. They're short though. We're doing the Dog Suicide Bridge.
All right.
And the Big Gray Man. Okay. And one other thing. Oh, and like the haunted vaults like underneath Edinburgh.
Okay.
So we're gonna be talking about that. So that should be fun. Be a nice like paranormal type show. We haven't done one of those in a while.
Yep.
So So thanks everybody for coming by. Have a good rest of your day, and we'll see you guys tomorrow evening. Bye.